Gamercast Network.
Hey. All right. It's a video game show. It's a video game show. It's not a game show about videos. It's a video game show.
Welcome to the Gamercast Network video game show, episode number 83 for Sunday, March 30th, 2008. I'm Chad, and this week for the roll call, when I say your name, in honor of Earth Hour, describe for me or tell me how video games can better help society. Because you know, all the time we hear about people who play Grand Theft Auto become murderers or prostitute killers or grandma head slicer offers. But how can video games better help society? For instance, I'll give you mine. So we know in the urban cities, there's the gang problem. They like fighting over their regions and that kind of stuff. So I think what should be done is a video game should be made like Warcraft for gangs. And this can be done hand in hand with like one of those one laptop per child things, those really cheap laptops, because you know Warcraft and those kind of games run just about anything. So that we could solve all of society's gang-related violence woes by making for gangs a MMO. And joining us tonight is Keith.
I think video games are already helping us today with natural selection. The really weak, bad ones are already killing themselves off by playing it until they're dead. So they're removing themselves from the gene pool, which is, in essence, helpful.
And also joining us is Phil.
I think they already have a few games out there that kind of teach people how to do things for themselves, like Animal Crossing, that teach you how to keep your house clean and stuff like that. And then there's games like Trauma Center that teach you how to...
That would be funny. A Trauma Center related video game death. His friend like skinned his knee, so he went in and just killed him. I have to get the glass out of your heart.
And also joining us this evening is Ivan.
Hi. Not sure how much it helps society, but two things helped me. One was my incredible hand-eye coordination now that I've played video games for so long. And actually, one thing that has helped me, I can now type very fast from talking in MMOs and MUDs and stuff. And it's beneficial to society because you won't have to take typing in high school if you play lots of video games.
Typing in high school. I took typing in high school.
Yeah, I did too. It's called Zork.
And finally joining us is Tom.
I'm willing to say that gaming has really no benefit, and I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. I'm not going to pretend that this isn't anything other than a frivolous hobby that I just get cheap thrills off of. But there's no downside. That is, I don't think gaming is teaching us how to be killers. On the other side, though, I don't necessarily think I'm getting any benefit off of gaming.
Certainly helping your social skills, because God knows if you didn't play video games, you'd never talk to other human beings.
Exactly. Although I haven't been playing games lately. Oy, I wish I could.
Did you just oi?
This week on the Gamercast Network. Sarcastic gamers boycotting Battlefield Bad Company. Tune into episode 34 to find out why you should and how you can join the fight. Boost your gamer score with the latest tips from Achievement Junkie. Tune into Podtacular for the biggest stories in the unofficial Halo universe. Uncle Gamer has some exclusive information about an unreleased game. Find out more in episode 72 of Uncle Gamer Radio. Gamertag Radio has an exclusive interview with the developers of Top Spin 3. And GTR staff member Peter Rock gives us a recap of the 2K Sports Media event in Miami, Florida, featuring tennis players Maria Sharapova, James Blake, and more. Discover the website that brings you all these great episodes and headlines at GamercastNetwork.com.
Next topic.
Okay, so what do we want to talk about today? We have the contest. We have lots of voicemail, email. Yeah, I'm playing Warcraft now. Damn you people. Here was the reason I started playing. I sat down and I said, okay, until there's a better MMO that comes out, one that appeals to me, something like Jumpgate Evolution, which is the Wing Commander-like MMO, I wanted to play a role-playing game. You guys all play it. So I figured, what the hell? I'll take my Wong and go in there and have fun.
Take your Wong?
No, Ma Wong is the guy's name.
Yeah, my character's name is Ma Wong. It's Korean for Lucifer. He's a nice little troll rogue that I just picked because he's blue. I really don't pay attention to any of the guides or any of the strategies that people have for this thing. I don't really care. I just want to have fun. I just want to walk around and stab things. And it's not that I don't care about the story. It's just that I'm not here for the story. I'm here just to walk around and have fun and explore.
Right on. It's a fun game, though.
I've only played for about, what, 5-6 hours, I think, over the past 4 days, and I'm already up to level 13, and I'm not having any problems leveling or getting money or anything. There really isn't a grind. I mean, I think there's a big misconception that there's this huge grind in Warcraft when there really isn't.
You don't really notice the grind until you're trying to get materials for the high-end gear. That's the only time you really notice a grind.
But you don't have to do that to play the game. That's the whole point of the auction house, is you buy stuff that you either can't or don't feel like doing. The stuff you pick up that you can't use, you can sell at the auction house because somebody else can, and then you can use that money to buy the stuff that you do need.
Okay. Chris likes to play the auction house, like a stock market game.
If he finds something selling for 3 gold in the auction house that he knows he's seen for 6 gold, he'll buy it and then immediately resell it and market for 6 gold. He's actually done stuff where if he's got an item that he wants to sell, he'll buy all the other items and then sell his for a lot of money. And he makes a lot of gold doing it, but you know, that's one of those grinding things where that's why he's level 46, because he spends 3 or 4 hours playing auction house instead of playing level up your character.
Now, with that expansion, with Burning Crusade, is it only for, like, if you go to 60 and above, is that really what it's targeting?
Well, you have to be level 58 to even get in. But the thing is with the expansion, they introduced 2 new races. And when you start those 2 new races, you start in the kind of Burning Crusade world.
I like Ma Wong. Ma Wong, he's a troll. He's blue.
You can have a blue blood elf and delete your current guy and rename him.
Dude, he's got the whole Rastafarian Yaman stuff going on. That's
true. He does.
He's cool.
My level 14 hunter is a troll. He's got the same beliefs that your guy does.
The same belief system.
Yeah.
Next topic.
So Ubisoft, they actually picked up the rights to the name Tom Clancy. They own Tom Clancy's name. Meaning beforehand, whenever they would sell a game like Tom Clancy's Raven Shield, Ubisoft had to cut Tom Clancy a check for royalty money. So he got a little piece of everything his name was on. Now, they paid him basically a certain amount of money so they can use the Tom Clancy name on any game or related merchandise. So this means that when a game is sold with the Tom Clancy name, Ubisoft doesn't have to pay Tom Clancy any royalty money for that game. However, for this deal, they paid him about $30 million.
It's smart for him. So instead of over the course of the next 20 years, he gets a little bit of royalty checks, he's getting $30 million up front.
Yeah, figure he's probably in his, 60s now? Yeah, I think the story here is now he's entered the realm of, John Madden. I'm not sure what kind of status that is, that you're so big that you could sell your name to the gaming industry.
One of the reasons they did this is, hand-in-hand with this announcement, they are making some sort of Tom Clancy MMO. They weren't more specific than that. And one of the reasons they bought his name was so they could save money and not pay him royalties on an MMO.
I can't even imagine what a Tom Clancy MMO is like.
Well, if you think World of Warcraft, you could easily make a Rainbow Six MMO where instead of slaughtering orcs, shooting terrorists.
It's the world of constant terrorist warfare. Yeah, right.
But the gameplay wouldn't be like World of War. I mean, Rainbow Six, even though it is tactical, it still is a Twitch shooter. It's still, for all intents and purposes, like Counter-Strike, just not as fast-paced.
Maybe it would be the first good first-person shooter MMO, Hellgate.
Next topic.
One of the major esports leagues, Cyber Athlete Professional League, had been around for about 10 years, and they finally decided to shut down. I believe primarily PC, and they were primarily Counter-Strike, weren't they?
That was one of their fatal mistakes. So if you go on some forums where some kids are talking about this, last year, they made a decision to move to World in Conflict, and I can't remember the FPS they moved to. But basically, they were moving their emphasis away from Counter-Strike, and that was kind of the death knell for the league. So I never played in the CPL. The CPL had, I don't know if you want to call it a minor leagues, or they had another league that was associated with them called CAL, the Cyber Athlete Amateur League. And what was great about CAL was that it was kind of like your bowling beer league. It had different divisions. You didn't have to take it seriously. I mean, it was kind of just teams that weren't hardcore scrimmaging every night. If you wanted to have fun but still wanted to play competitively, you could join some of their lower divisions. And then if you won the lower divisions, you know, you'd move up to more competitive leagues. And then the top was like Cal I. And if you can compete in Cal I, you pretty much can go to play in any professional tournament.
The big ship with the alien came down and took you up, and you got to be the last starfighter.
Exactly. Yes. The story is that staying around. So the fun league, the one where kids just can go and play with their casual clan, is sticking around. You can read into that what you will.
Does your brother still play in the Cal?
No, he stopped playing competitively when he went to college. To show you the skill of the Cal I players, so my brother joined a clan that was actually competing at the highest level. And when you're up there, you're pretty amazing. My brother could not play in public servers because whenever he would play anywhere, he'd get labeled as a cheater and get banned. And so when he went to college, he was playing Counter-Strike in the dorms, and people threatened to come down to his room and kick his ass because they thought he was cheating. And so he actually had to have all these people come into his dorm and watch him play to realize that you really have those skills.
Why'd you get beat up? I was too good at gaming. Like Kingpin, they destroy your hand so you can't press the buttons anymore.
Make his right hand look like his left hand.
Next topic.
You know what? Let's do a fact or crap. We got four facts and we got one crap. You must tell me the crap. Number one. Okay, so we talked about copy protection. Iron Lore used for Titan Quest. It crashed if it detected it was a copy. This was not the first time that somebody did something like this. Back in the Super Nintendo days, there was a role-playing game called Earthbound that had something very similar. If it detected it was a copy, it let you play it till the very end. And then at the very end, it crashed. And when it crashed, it deleted all your save games. Number two. In Resident Evil 2, if you beat all six scenarios with an A rating, you got to unlock Tofu mode. In this mode, you played as a giant lump of tofu, which could basically take more damage than a human. Number three. Kinyu Yamashita is a video game music composer, and she did the music for the original Castlevania. However, when the game was released and localized for other countries, she wasn't given proper credit. The music composer was listed as James Banana. Number four. One more on Resident Evil. So Resident Evil was made by Shinji Mikami. He actually made Resident Evil after being inspired by George Romero's Living Dead film series. And finally, number five. Sega released, in Japan, an arcade game named Walk the Dog. It was basically a large game that included a screen, treadmill, and a plastic dog with a leash. All you did was walk on the treadmill and hold the leash. And you could pull the leash in directions to steer the dog on the screen. That was all you did.
Oh, that's the greatest thing ever.
Four of those are fact, one of those is crap. Starting off figuring out this whole thing, since Ivan likes to talk, we'll go with Ivan first.
Dog walking things. If you said anything other than it was Japan only, I would not believe it. But I would believe that the Japanese would do something like that because they're a silly, silly group of people. Resident Evil sounds like pretty much directly inspired by Living Dead, so I have to believe that. Yamashita does sound very much like the person who did the Castlevania music. I don't know about the James Banana thing. That sounds rather silly. Tofu mode is probably something that is true. And as much as I think James Banana is made up, I'm going to go with the first one here because it's very possible. I didn't know about copying Super Nintendo games. I didn't remember hearing about that when the Super Nintendo was around. Therefore, I don't think developers would have thought to put code in to actually do something like crash the game and delete all your save games.
Okay. Next, we'll go with Phil.
I want to say they're all crap.
Okay, you lose!
You lose! Yay!
All right, next. I'm going to say tofu mode is the crap.
And next, we'll go with Keith.
I'm going to go with the banana one.
And finally, Tom.
My choice here is going to be completely random because they're just all sound very silly to me. But I'll say no one in their life was ever inspired by George Romero.
Wow.
Wow.
Maybe the first one. After the first movie, they all kind of went downhill.
Well, are you ready to find out who is correct and who is wrong? Actually, I was prepared to say that no one was going to get the answer there until Tom, because actually Tom is the crap.
Really?
The thing is, if you go to a lot of sites, they all say it. Resident Evil drew inspiration from George Romero's, when I'm sure it probably did in some short way. However, in an interview with Shinji, he actually said that no, it is the Italian zombie film called Zombie. And if you look at the story of that one is that there was a disease that people caught, which reanimated the dead, which is kind of like more in line with Resident Evil.
Whereas the Romero's movie was Nuclear Fallout or something like that.
Number one, yes, Earthbound was a Super NES game, and yes, there was piracy back then. And these guys did do a quote-unquote dick move by allowing you to play the game until basically the end. As soon as you were fighting the last boss, it for some reason just crashed. And then when you went to reboot, all your save games were gone.
You know, I bet that company had excellent sales after that game.
It depends on how long it took you to get through the whole game. I mean, if it took you 50 hours to get to the end, I wouldn't play it again.
Yeah, in Resident Evil there too, there is a tofu mode. Kinyu Yamashita, the thing is, pretty much all of the credits in the original Castlevania, when they were localized for other countries, weren't correct at all. Because they actually listed like Bela Lugosi, Bram Stoker as makers of the game. And finally, yes, there is a Walk the Dog video game in Japan.
That seemed ridiculous enough for me.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I actually believe that.
That was actually very believable one, yeah.
So there you go. There is your factor crap. Congrats, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you, 20% probability.
That's usually what factor craps come down to, is how good can you guess.
Left door, right door. Do you remember that game? That was the Wario one. It was just left door, right door, and you had a 50% chance of being right.
Next topic.
So we have the contest here, the stupidest thing done in the game. Would anyone else like to share any stupid things they've done in the game? Tom or Keith? You guys weren't on for that little bit when the roll call question was, what is the stupidest thing you've ever done in the game? Anything you want to own up to? And this is more than just flashbangs. The idea here was something like, my example was I grinded for hours on end in a game I didn't have to.
See, I distinctly remember like playing Unreal Tournament in that and just not having any idea what was going on and just shooting everybody. And anyone that came near me, I'd shoot them.
I remember him doing that. He did it because he was angry. He hates first-person shooters because they're so frantic, and he would get so upset that it didn't matter who you were. You could even be running up going, Keith, it's me, don't shoot. And he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. Bang, 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 bang.
Yep.
I guess it's less stupidity as it is purposeful griefing, but in Battlefield 1942, I'd often take a B-29 full of players. I'd fly it up as high as I can, and then I would parachute out, and the other players wouldn't realize that the pilot has parachuted out of the plane.
That's hysterical.
I know Chris did that to me. I was flying with Chris, but I'm in like the gunner seat, and I'm looking around, and then I look over, and just it's an empty cockpit. And the steering wheel just kind of moving back and forth in the air.
Okay, so for this contest, we had lots of entries. So our runner-up prize, which is Gears of War for the Xbox 360, goes to Thad. Thad, when playing Guitar Hero 2, was hitting all the buttons for the notes on the guitar, but still failed because he didn't realize he had to hit the strum bar.
And his kids sat there and mocked him the whole time. That makes it even better.
It is stupid, but honestly, how do you play a guitar simulation game and not know that there's a strum bar? It's right there. How do you not know that it's a moving part? I think it's made up. That's why I think it's so stupid that nobody is that stupid.
No, this is so stupid that nobody is that stupid. That's how stupid this is.
Our first place winner goes to Murderface. Murderface, who tried to take down a high-level Fell Reaver in World of Warcraft in a unique way.
They got a bunch of guys together to try to kill this thing, and then they thought, well, we don't have enough of them, so we'll drag them over to some of the NPC town guys where they will help kill things if a guy comes into town. So they did that. They dragged him into town to try to get the NPCs to help fight. And what they wound up doing was they ran into a temple trying to get those guys to help. But the Fell Reaver wound up slaughtering the players, the non-player characters, and everything else. And then just as people spawned into that temple, they just kept getting slaughtered because he got stuck. This is just one of those random stupid things where you panic. You're like, oh my God, he's killing us. Let's run to town and maybe they'll help. They don't help. They get slaughtered. And then the thing just continues to run around for 20 minutes, slaughtering everything in sight.
I'll put the winning entries up and probably the best of the other entries on the video game show website, just because there's so many. I'll do it all anonymously, of course.
To protect the stupid.
Names and places have been changed. Protect the stupid.
To perfect the stupid.
I'm apparently one of those that need protecting, because I can't talk.
Next topic.
Mailbag!
Mailbag.
We'll do the voicemail first.
How you guys doing? Kind of torn between some, and I wanted your insight. Currently enrolled in a four-year program at the local university for a computer science engineering degree. Want to get into video games. That's my aspiration for my career. Been looking at some other online things, like the only one that I would even consider going to is the University of Advancing Technologies, because they are pretty accredited. The benefits of doing everything online would work for scheduling points with family and job and whatnot, but every developer that I've looked at with job postings they want like a computer science degree from a four-year college. And I was wondering if going to a UAT, which is a more specific, you know, game programming degree, would inhibit me from possibly getting into some of these places like, you know, Midway or Epic or whatever. Guys could offer me any information at all, that would be greatly appreciated.
I would say avoid like the digipens. In casual conversations that I've overheard, by and large, people are still looking for an undergraduate degree from a university that they know. You know, they would rather see that you have a computer science degree from Ohio State rather than a game programming degree from like Southern Methodist, which they have a game program. If you have no experience in the industry at all, you have to have done your own independent project, participated on a mod team that's successful. I mean, you need to show that you've had some wins on your resume. Now, that's if you want to be a developer. You know, doing testing for a while, it's very realistic with a CS degree to enter game development as a tester without any experience in the industry. But for that, though, you're pretty much going to have to move to like a San Francisco, which is a hotbed, Seattle area, which is a hotbed, Raleigh, Durham, which has some video game companies.
The other thing is, I've never studied much of how those game developer schools actually teach you in depth in terms of programming. They could be very light in terms of the programming, more into the theory of game design.
And the thing is, though, it doesn't matter where you get that kind of thing. You still need to learn how to code. If you can't learn C# or C++, if you don't know that and you're expecting to go to one of these online video game development schools, you're never going to get a job. If you can code in C whatever and you do one of these, then you might have a chance.
Also, one thing to consider is that game programming is really more than just knowing how to program. You know how to program and C. Great. You need that as your base, but there are other skills involved. My master's degree is in computer science, and most of that master's was spent learning graphics programming. I find that lots of people don't really understand how much mathematics there really is involved in graphics programming. You know, you have to understand things like linear algebra and computational geometry. You know, game programming usually does require a wealth of knowledge. And going through a four-year programming degree won't give you it all, but it helps you learn how to learn. So as you go into game programming, you can pick up the things you need to know how to do.
I want to leave them on an encouraging note. A friend of the show, Scott Lance, is one model that you could perhaps follow, where he had taken time out of his career, which not everyone can do, to build an independent game. He did Land of Legends, and Land of Legends ended up having some critical acclaim in the independent circles. And then now he's in PopCap Games. So he's in the game industry now. And it's definitely one path you could follow, which is just take some time after you acquire this knowledge to build a game so you can put that on your resume and get it out there.
So our next voicemail message here.
Hey guys, it's Nick from New Hampshire. I just have a question about the new Unreal 3 engine demonstration at the Game Developers Conference. I was wondering what you thought of the improvements to the engine, and if you think it's going to look anywhere close to that by the time Gears comes out. So I was hoping it'd be a lot better. I love the show, guys.
What he's talking about is for the Gears of War 2, they showed a very small tech demo at Game Developers Conference. In Gears of War, you never fought many enemies at one time.
Well, that's because they want to make things look good, and that was the criticism with Doom 3, is they tried to make everything look so good, everything was so high poly, that you couldn't have too many demons on the screen at any one time.
Yeah, so there are some other graphical polishes to the game, but the one major graphical polish is they can now have hundreds of locusts on the screen at one time, so they can have more massive battles. His question here was, is it going to look any better?
It probably isn't. First round was to make it look good. Now they've advanced the engine. They can make it look just as good, but they can add hundreds of enemies. That sounds pretty good to me. If they could make it look just as good as Gears of War, but you can have 10 times the enemies on the screen without slowing down.
That's okay in my book.
Next topic.
We had two pieces of mail. One was from JP and one was from Nathan. Both of them are basically asking here what DS games they should get. Any good suggestions on any recent DS games?
Not a lot good has come out recently. The old standards like Tetris and Mario Kart, Castlevania's are really good. Final Fantasy III is good. I couldn't get into it just because I couldn't get into another Final Fantasy. Professor Layton is a pretty good game.
I know there's one that came out recently. Oh, the Mysterious Dungeon. Shinri. I've heard that one is a very ruthless dungeon crawling game.
Yeah, where like, you will lose.
Do you guys see the silliness around Guitar Hero for DS? It's jumping the shark.
Let me paint the picture here real quick for the audience. Activision, a couple weeks ago, announced they're bringing out Guitar Hero for the DS. The game's going to be called Guitar Hero On Tour. And along with this game, you're getting a peripheral, which is going to plug into the Game Boy Advance slot, and it has like four buttons on it for the four, you know, fret controls.
Yeah, you basically hold it sideways and you use your stylus to strum up and down on the touchscreen.
That's pretty ridiculous.
But honestly, though, how else could you put Guitar Hero on?
I have an idea. Don't.
Yeah, I was just going to say, here's a question. Why bother doing it in the first place? What they should have done is, instead of trying to capitalize on Guitar Hero, they could have very easily ported the iPod game. There's a game called Phase, which is essentially Guitar Hero, but with a click wheel. They could have very easily ported that to the DS and just used the buttons, and it would have worked very well.
I'm sure this will sell tons, just because there's so many DSs out there, so much love for Guitar Hero.
You know what? That's the thing. They're putting it out solely because it's Guitar Hero, and they just see little cash signs.
Tom was right. This is pretty much jumping the shark.
What else are they going to do? What else do you want? I mean, when you see Guitar Hero, the MMO...
how would you even
do
that?
Don't put it past them. You have to go on quests to play different arenas.
Man, you got to go make a drop for Stinky Pete.
And the next piece of mail here. Hey, first off, I love the show. I currently have a PS2 and a computer with a... no techiness, but a very old video card. I really do not like the Xbox 360. The few times I have played one at my friend's, I am looking to upgrade my gaming console. Should I get a Wii or PS3 or build a new computer? Which would you recommend and why?
All right, first of all, Tom, go on your computer rant.
No, I was going to say, what kind of games do you prefer? I mean, because if you were a diehard StarCraft player way back in the day, then definitely put that money into a PC, because in 08, we have StarCraft 2 coming out. But if you don't like the kind of games that are on the PC, you know, then don't put that money in there.
He does not like playing the Xbox 360. Okay, we're getting now to the point where the Xbox 360 and PS3 are almost the same equivalent in lots of ways.
It depends on why he doesn't like the 360. Does he not like the controller? Does he not like the games? Or does he not like the console games in general? Because if that's the case, then a PS3 is probably not the best way to go either.
Well, if it's the gameplays and that he doesn't like, then maybe he would be better off going for a Wii because of its completely different...
It is different, but the question is, it sounds like this guy goes for longevity. I mean, he has a PS2 and a very old video card. Yeah, it does come back to what games. I mean, if he likes the Japanese role-playing games on the PS2, well, then...
Yeah, it's not like they're going to stop making PS2 games, because as we've said over the last couple months, that they are still selling a tremendous number of games for the PS2 platform.
And finally, a message from G-Flat. Hey all, this is G-Flat from the forums with a live update from London. My wife and I flew over here to join the human resistance. I am happy to report that the gates to hell have not opened. Londoners on the streets report no sightings of zombies. I found no caches of weapons or ammunition in the tube stations, and when I asked the uniformed officials about them, they looked very concerned. My map knowledge in Hellgate actually helped me find my bearings when walking around and seeing many of the sights. I might still be under Piccadilly Circus if it wasn't for Hellgate.
Well, I find that part very interesting.
So I guess video games are beneficial after all.
There you go.
And that was Video Game Show episode number 83 for Sunday, March 30th, 2008. Any ham sandwiches or share dream pies to the world?
I want to give a ham sandwich to the makers of Poultrygeist.
Poultrygeist? Like,
the
possessed.
Look at poultrygeistmovie.com. Just go look at it. It's absolutely ridiculous and made me laugh. And I would go see that movie in a heartbeat because it looks hysterical.
I actually have two ham sandwiches to give out. One ham sandwich over to DC Crash and to show The Gamer's Garage. I was on their show a couple nights ago. Very good show. And a ham sandwich to Podtacular. They are shutting down their podcast after 3 years. Congrats, guys, on a great show and a great run.
Podtacular is still going to go on strong. I mean, their Pod TV. So instead of an audio show on that RSS feed, start looking for a video show. And the Podtacular tournaments are still going to go on, and the forums are still there, and the sites are still going to go on.
Any other ham sandwiches or share dream pies?
I do have a message for Lano, Butt Monkey. On the last Sarcastic Gamer, they were reading off iTunes reviews. One of the people who left a review for their show was named Butt Monkey. And one of the guys said, "What other podcast are you going to hear somebody say Butt Monkey?" Their response was probably the Video Game Show. There you go. Butt Monkey, Lano. Butt Monkey.
And as always, send your comments, questions, queries, or concerns to the mailbag at mailbag@videogameshow.org, Skype us at videogameshow, or call us at 320-300-GAME. That is a standard long-distance call, and all normal fees apply. And that's a wrap. Good night, and butt monkey.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of, since he's talking about London, there's an English guy at work, and yesterday I overheard him on the phone. He was saying something. He must have been talking to his wife, and he was like, "Oh, yes, tell him he could have his Wii back now. It's in my top drawer." And I was just, it just sounded so ridiculous to me.
Just worst never. English accent ever, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that was atrocious, too.
It'll generate angry email. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, it was like cross between, you know, British and Australian.
Now it sounded like a dorky white guy trying to do an English accent.
Or that.